This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the final hour of the big show as we continue to roll on. Tom Ryle of SB Nation Sports, who covers the Cowboys, should be joining us at 3:30 to talk a little bit about the Zeke situation and what it means for the Cowboys going forward. So we'll look forward to that. And for all you Cowboy fans out there that have a team that's still in the hunt, you'll be interested to know about that. That should be good stuff. Sigmund Bloom was good.
Word.
As always. Rockets and Cavs tonight from the Big Sequoia, which you love so much. Toyota Center, Barry. It should be a big one. I expect the Cavs to come out. Look, the Cavs defense is god-awful.
Yes.
But they are trying to make a statement. And the other night, NBA tier, whatever, the players-only crap doesn't count as a national TV game in my mind. Tonight, national TV, the only win in the last six games the Cavaliers have, they've dropped 5 of 6, has been, actually, they've dropped 5 of 7 now. They beat the Bucks the other night. But LeBron has had big games, 30 against the Bucks, 56 against the Wiz. I would assume that by all means necessary means look for LeBron to try and go off tonight at Toyota Center.
Oh, I think so. You don't think this Cavs team wants to send a statement?
That's what I'm saying. On national TV,
yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, we may not have a great record right now, and we may not be doing well in wins and losses, and the rumblings of the chemistry is bad on our team. But what better way to send a message? You it would be 2 in a row against one of the best teams in the NBA right now. I mean, I don't know that.
Best team in the West.
Yeah. I think it sends a good message if they do it, but, you know, it's one of those things. How much does this really count? Other than for a win or a loss?
That's the big thing. The fans, yeah, think this is a huge game.
It's not.
For the players, yeah, they get a little bit more jacked up because it's a national TV game, but if they lose it, it's just 1 of 82. But it's going to be interesting to see because from a Rockets perspective, I'm Mike D'Antoni. I say, look at the crap defense this team has been playing lately and how many points a game you're scoring. You should be able to score 25 more, 30 more. You should be able to put, instead of averaging 60 plus and a half, you should go for 70 tonight and really make a statement on national TV. So both teams will have motivation. It'll be very interesting to see after we remember that James Harden kicked LeBron James in the grapes a few years ago here in Houston. It's always spirited when those two get together. But again, it's also a lot of people saying, hey, this is a recruiting trip because if LeBron comes in, the Rockets re-sign Chris Paul, and he's looking to go at the end of the year when he is a free agent, that he may look at Houston. I see him looking at it.
You think?
I really do.
Oh, okay.
I mean, definitely think he's going to look this way. I still think that for all the people that are denying Los Angeles and saying it's just never going to happen or it's not going to happen, it's still my leader in the clubhouse still,
LA.
If he doesn't go back to Cleveland, is L.A.
Yeah, I would probably lean that way as well. By the way, one quick correction. Golden State won, so they're 9-3. So technically, percentage-wise, they're ahead of the Rockets now in the West, 750 versus 727. Rockets 8-3, Golden State 9-3.
In the loss column. You doing that because otherwise I would have probably gotten someone to text.
Yeah, in the loss column, it's the same, which is what you always say you should watch.
Right.
Is the loss column, which they both have 3. You mentioned the defense and how bad they are. Cavs giving up 114 a night, essentially, scoring 110. So on the wrong side of that ratio, in reverse. Rockets scoring 110, giving up 103, and that number is starting to get low, so I like that. Here's the weird anomaly of these stats, and I think it's the Rockets. It's indicative of the Rockets in general, but both teams 2-2 on where this game will be played. The Cavs 2-2 on the road. Rockets 2-2 at home, which means they're 6-1 on the road. It's like the Astros all over again.
Yeah, sure is.
It's kind of weird.
And I can name the losses, but, I mean, they're bad losses. It's Philly and Memphis.
Yeah, that's not.
And here's the weirder
Memphis
that.
Memphis twice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Memphis was also at, you also
home
lost
and,
at
home
FedEx.
And away.
And the weirder thing about that is you're almost done with the season series with the Grizz because Saturday night they come back, which means you're done with Memphis coming here, and then you only got one more to go in Memphis. It's weird sometimes how the schedule works out in the NBA.
Yeah, your division rival a division rival.
Yeah, and you're done with them before Christmas.
Yeah,
or Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving, I think. Yeah, that's pretty strange.
So it'll be interesting to see, but it'll be a fun game to watch. And, of course, on national TV, always good to see the Rockets do well and see how they can't come out of it. But they're saying Chris Paul is close. D'Antoni's using baseball references, saying he's rounding third. But that doesn't give us a good barometer of when you might see him back. But I would think on the end of this homestand, especially like we said, Saturday night against Memphis might be a good night at home to get him some run. But we'll see. I kind of thought sneakily he might be playing tonight, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Oh, CP3?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that they'll drag that out. You know what I mean? I think resting him is the MO. Kind of like not what necessarily what they did with Nene last year, but he's getting older, and I'm sure they want him here for the chemistry, but it won't surprise me if he rests more even down the stretch.
Right.
Because of his age. Did you see this list that came out on ESPN, NBA player rankings? Yeah, so they do. Well, I have in front of me the top 10, and I'll go backwards. So number 10 is Joel Embiid. Number 9, Kevin Durant, which I think might be awfully low.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Joel Embiid's got to play.
Number 8, Andre Drummond.
Who's playing out of his mind. How about a free throw shooter that figured it out?
Yep. Number 7, Steph Curry. Yeah. So ahead of Durant?
Yeah, that's bad too. You're right.
Number 6, a lot of these ahead of Durant. I mean, to me, Durant should be top 3.
Yep.
But Kristaps Porzingis is 6.
Playing well, but yeah. Still.
Number 5, Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Number 4, Bradley Beal.
Okay.
Number 3, Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2. So we're down to two guys, LeBron James and James Harden. Who do you think is number 2?
LeBron James.
No, it's actually James Harden. It surprised me.
The way they're playing this year, although yeah. LeBron's had some big games.
LeBron's had some big games, but didn't Harden win like a player of the week twice already?
Twice already, yep.
That's kind of that surprised me a little bit because this is kind of like power rankings in that it's current. But okay.
I imagine the Durant thing is because he's been out, right, for a while.
He missed last night with a thigh contusion, but overall, I mean, yeah, I guess if it's just strictly by the numbers.
One night? So you just missed one game then?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
But I think overall, I mean, you just got to go by the numbers. And the numbers don't lie early on, but I think overall when you were doing talent evaluation, there's no way he'd be out of the top 10.
Yeah, it doesn't say if this is every week we'll rank the top 10 players from previous week using game scoring. Game score is our starting point. So here's what they say about Durant. You tell me if you guys agree with this. Because I just, at 9, I don't know, maybe since it's a week-to-week thing, but it's easy to take Durant's offensive repertoire for granted when he's not lining up the scoreboard for 30, but make no mistake, he's fully dialed in. Not only is Durant averaging the most points per direct isolation among the top 25, according to the Second Spectrum, he's also shooting better than 50%, better than both Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. All things considered, Durant is statistically the most efficient scorer both on and off the ball, even if he's only the 10th in the NBA. So why the hell do you have him at 9?
So you say all that to say he's number 9.
You said he's also shooting better than 50% on catch-and-shoot threes, better than Steph Curry, yet you have him 2 spots below Curry. That I don't understand that.
So that plus everything really else he adds brings to the credibility of your weekly publication.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Well done, people. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, that one stood out to me, seeing Durant at 9. That's why I thought I'd go through the list real quick.
Yeah, but that would stand up to a lot of people. I would stick out to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Unless he prefaced it by saying, you know, if you're out, because sometimes they add these, like, conditional rules to how they rank stuff.
Right.
You never know, but yeah, I don't see how you would put him at number 9 either.
Pretty
It'll be
weird.
Interesting to see how this whole thing plays out tonight, because again, the Cavaliers with a losing record, 5-6, everybody's like, oh, if the playoffs started today,
oh God,
they'd be out.
Start that.
Well, they don't, so they won't.
That's like saying that after week 1 of the NFL. I mean, maybe even, well, I don't know, hell, how many games have everybody played? 10? They're 1-8?
Around there, yeah.
They're 1-8?
10 or 11.
So what would 1-8 of the season in the NFL be? 2 games?
Pretty much, yeah.
So this would be like saying, well, if the play in the NFL after week 2, you're saying
If the Saints. If the playoffs start today, only Saints 2, are out. Saints are out. Well,
plenty of basketball left.
By the way, though, the 9th consecutive game with the win against Milwaukee the other night, the Cavs have surrendered at least 112 points. Look for that scoreboard to hit tilt at some point if all goes as planned this evening. Should be a fun game at Toyota Center. Starts at the regular time on TNT, so that should be a good one, 7 p.m. Central. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects as we're knee-deep in the final hour of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ Jong, and The Blitz. If you missed it today, Zeke Elliott's final court appeal was denied. Suspension should start immediately. So that means, Cowboy fans, get ready for a steady dose of the backup running backs as Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris begin their six-week era as prominent roles in the Cowboys' offense. A.J. Green fined $42,000 for his fight.
That's...
Jameis Winston fined $12,000 for his.
Really?
Yep.
$12,000 for a poke in the back of the head?
In the neck, yeah.
That seems a little excessive. Although he did instigate it, but if Evans doesn't do anything, it doesn't go any further than just the turnaround jaw and thing face to face. That was it.
Yeah.
If Evans doesn't do, he calls, if I'm Jameis Winston, I'm like, hey, you owe me $6,000 because if you don't tackle, oh boy, it probably doesn't escalate.
And Mike Evans got one game, ooh, which he was appealing, but that was one hell of a blindside dirty hit.
Best tackle that team's seen all year.
I think it's interesting that, and I know that the Jags really made sure, and even Tom Coughlin came to the defense of Jalen Ramsey and said, our guy didn't do anything. He didn't fight back. He didn't, guess he pushed him, but they've been jawing and talking the whole game. And that's something that they encourage, I guess, in Jacksonville, that they're really trying to use every edge possible, and they were trying to get under A.J. Green's skin. But Jalen Ramsey not fined.
Well,
interesting.
I mean, if
you they were both ejected at the time.
You stay within the confines of the rules. He didn't retaliate or anything. He was talking smack, but everybody does. It was Jameis Winston that put his hands on him. So
picture that sums it all up on ESPN. How dumb can you be when you have your fist balled up and you're ready to punch a guy with a helmet and full pads on?
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Oh, boy.
I don't think I've ever thought, hey, you know what? This guy with all this gear on, I'm punching him dead off in that helmet.
Man, that helmet would feel really good, too, just against my knuckles.
Somebody texted the show and said on basketball, LiAngelo Ball is probably going to be spending some time on the production side of Big Baller Brand.
Now, here's the thing about
that. That's pretty funny.
We were talking about it yesterday. If the Chinese government prosecutes to the full extent of the law, that he could get 3 to 5 years.
Yep.
Now they're saying he's going to get 20 days of house arrest. And since he's not Chinese and he's a visitor, he'll get 20 days in the luxurious hotel that they're staying at.
Really? That's
it? Is that really?
Oh, there was some
punishment?
Yeah, I think there was some negotiating going on.
Maybe
or
that's why his dad, LeVar, because TMZ caught up with him. He's like, oh, it's not that big a deal.
I heard him say that, and I thought,
people
yeah,
are making it a big
somewhere.
Deal, and it's not. It kind of is, man, when you commit a crime in a foreign country.
Well, if you look at the numbers, 99% prosecution rate in China for stealing, and punishment is 3 to 5 years of hard labor in prison.
I'm sure the American passport helps.
Tell the truth, guys. You were both hoping that he was going to go away for 5 years.
It would have been funny.
I would have loved to see LeVar Ball try to spin that somehow.
Try to make the TV show that way.
Well, if you want him to do good time, you would give him more years. Like,
what?
Yeah, like if you really want to improve the amount of license plates that prison's pumping out, you give him 10 years and let him work longer. Like, he's probably like, Dad, chill. Like, this is not the time. You're not helping me.
Can you just imagine the spinoff? Big Baller, Hard Time.
Oh, no.
I mean, come on.
No. You wrecked me.
Yeah. So other than that, you've got Thursday night basketball. You've got the Cavs at your Rockets. You've got Thursday night football. The Seahawks visiting the Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, let's be real. It's a pretty lame time for sports right now.
It really is.
Astros have won their world championship. Rockets aren't even really spinning up yet. It's Thursday night football. Plus, no one in this town really cares as much about football anymore now that Deshaun Watson's gone for the year. It's like our slow
season.
I'll tell
you what, the parking lot was dead, like for the tailgaters.
Oh, I bet.
It was so quiet in the parking lot. Like, there was like nobody cheering, drinking, throwing a football, playing game. None of that.
Everyone
could barely smell the food.
Sipping on a glass full of tears.
It's
it was
also
so calm.
Really interesting, the parallels now with Green Bay and Houston fans, because both are in the same situation. Like, I saw who's the big tight end from Texas that the Packers had that had to retire because of a neck injury? God, it just escapes me right now. And he's really good follow on Twitter, too. But he basically said, look, when Deshaun Watson got hurt for the Texans and when Aaron Rodgers got hurt for the Packers, season over. Bottom line, season over. And when you think about it, for both teams, both fan bases, try as they might to try and convince everybody, hang in there, it's going to be okay. It's probably not.
Who are you?
I'll get it. No. Why can I not think of it? Great tight end, and he had his career got cut short.
Jermichael Finley?
Yes, Jermichael Finley was out there. Plus, he was also killing Martellus Bennett, going, hey, y'all need me to come back? He goes, dang. These guys don't really respect and know how to play the tight end position.
Ouch. Somebody just tweeted me, Sean Stillman tweeted me a picture of LaAngelo Ball in front of a bunch of police officers. It says, breaking news, LaAngelo Ball leading his team in steals.
Oh, man.
And so it begins. I like it, though. That's good stuff.
Nick, Curtis wants to get in here to talk about the aforementioned LaAngelo Ball. Let's see what's up. Curtis, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, man? All good.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Sorry. Just want to say again, as I always do every time I call the show, you're the number one show on ESPN.
Appreciate you, sir.
Wait. Curtis, you had a bad connection. Could you repeat that?
Yeah. You guys are the best show on 97.5 Houston ESPN radio, without a doubt. Sorry.
That's what I like to hear.
Save that. Yes, we're going to make that our promo. That's going to be our lead-in. Thank you, sir.
Curtis, without having to be here, you will negotiate our next contract here.
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect. Happy to do it. I only want 10%.
Yeah, you got it. I'll give you 20 because it's going to be way more.
10% is nothing, sir.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, I just wanted to interject on the LaAngelo Ball situation.
Yep.
Which you guys kind of touched on a little bit before I was going to call in is, LeVar came out and said this isn't really a big deal. I don't know if he realizes that China is still a communist empire with a 99.2% conviction rate against thieves in their country. And secondly, what I thought was kind of ironic about the whole situation is, hasn't LeVar Ball's biggest marketing phrase and statement been, well, if you can't afford Big Baller Brand, you're just not a big baller? But yet, his own son is having to go steal high-end items from stores. So if your own son cannot afford Big Baller Brand items, what does that say about your marketing?
It's pretty ironic, though, right,
yeah.
Curtis?
Yeah, you have none.
Yeah, you're a big baller, but you're out there stealing. So now he hasn't been convicted yet, but it's probably coming, right? Yeah, I
don't know if Curtis, you still there?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So, so you think he's getting convicted? I mean, you said 99.2.
Well, that's the Chinese conviction, right?
That's what I'm saying. You think he's?
I don't think he's going to get convicted. I think he's going to get off of a lighter sentence for a multitude of reasons, including because he is a well-known figure in the U.S. And for U.S.-China relations, I think they'll keep it pretty legit, and they're not going to charge him the same as they would as a Chinese citizen. But I just find the whole situation ironic.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Appreciate the call, Curtis. Okay, so check this out, right? So part of the conviction is house arrest for 20 days, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're never allowed to enter the country again. Now, he's supposed to be the least talented of the three, but let's just say he makes it to the NBA, and then lo and behold, the NBA and the team he's on has to go play in China.
He ain't playing.
You ain't going.
Nope. Skipping that game. This is a good song, by the way, Nick. Yeah, you're skipping that game for sure.
And the other interesting thing that Curtis was talking about, I'm pretty sure in the way that the hierarchy and headquarters of Big Baller Brand goes, the marketing director is on bedroom number one, whereas the CEO is in the bedroom number two, which means basically they don't have an office and they don't have, that's what you, they're doing everything themselves.
Yeah.
So their BS marketing is all just another
family. That's all it is.
BS. Yeah. Okay, we'll continue to roll on. We got a half hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere, and please feel free to join us. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter as we continue to roll on right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the big show. Half hour to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. Been fun. Been a little bit crazy. If you missed it, Sigmund Bloom answered a whole bunch of fantasy football questions at 2:30. We are not going to ask Tom Ryle what his bleep number is, but Tom Ryle is on hold as well. We talked to you guys earlier in the show about breaking news that Zeke Elliott's suspension looks like it's going to be upheld. His last, or so we think, last line of defense was rejected by another court today. But to give us some expert opinion, Tom Ryle is on hold. He is bloggingtheboys.com if you want to follow anything and everything Cowboys. And we have those big Cowboy fans out there that will probably check that out, part of our good SB Nation family. Tom, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So break it down for us, my man. Is this indeed the last call for all of this, and Zeke does end up sitting for the next six games, are we looking at McFadden and Alfred Morris and thinking that they're going to be okay and they're going to be able to with that offensive line, get by until they get to a point where they get Zeke back?
Well, first off, I don't think it's McFadden in the first place. I think the current depth chart for the team reads Morris, Rod Smith, and then McFadden as kind of an injury backup.
Really?
There are a lot of people who think Rod Smith, who's kind of been under the radar out there and who is Jalen Smith's brother, would actually wind up with more carries by the end of the six-game suspension. A lot of people think he's got more of a good three-down skill set than even Morris does. And he also, I don't really know how they stack up on pass blocking, but that's going to be a really important thing when they're trying to protect Dak Prescott.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. What do you, is this something we can expect to continue, these on again, off again suspensions, or is this it? Is this going to be, they should, it should ride for a while?
I'm pretty sure that the suspension is going to be on and probably run its course. I think the odds are getting pretty long against them being able to get the court into, get the case into court to try and get the suspension, get the whole thing thrown out. They're going to try. It's just I don't know if they can succeed because Elliott has always maintained he didn't do anything. And he's not going to accept this with no criminal court coming out and saying he committed domestic violence. And the NFLPA just wants to get a win somehow over the NFL.
Well, Tom, I mean, from the standpoint of how long this thing has dragged out, and we know that that's the reputation of Goodell and this entire regime of hierarchy at the NFL. But the bottom line is it not to the point where it was really just a big distraction that was taking away from the rest of this team? And as a service to this team, you know, you got to figure at some point, let's just get it out of the way, because look, the Cowboys look like they're still a playoff team. They got to make a run. You got to have this guy in prime condition when you get ready to go into the playoffs and make a push late in the season. Let's just get it out of the way now and put it behind you so that they can go forward when they need it most.
Well, I can see how the team might think that way, but you got to remember, it's Elliott's life that's being messed with, and the threat that's out there is that if he gets accused of domestic violence again and Roger Goodell decides the accuser is credible, he's basically suspended from football, period. So he's got a lot at stake here. You can't expect him to just lie down and take this quietly.
That's a good point.
Having said that, from the team's viewpoint, if assuming he keeps his nose clean going forward, yeah, in the long run, this may be better. The current lineup of games coming up, even without him, the Falcons are at 4-4. That looks like it could be a winnable game, even with the backup running backs. The Falcons don't have a great run defense. The Eagles are going to be a lot more of a challenge now. That's pretty unquestionable, but the Cowboys do have them at home, although that's not always really that good a deal for the Cowboys, it seems like. You know, the crowd tend to be a lot of people that travel to the AT&T Stadium because it's, you know, like the premier venue in the NFL. Then they've got the Chargers. That should be winnable. They've already beaten the Redskins once, and they come up. Then they've got the Giants, who are contending for the number one overall pick right now, and the Raiders, who are below 500 team. So it's not a really overwhelming stretch. And when it comes down to it, that 1 week lifting of the suspension that they got so that Elliott could play against Kansas City was probably a really good game to have him in if the swap out for that was playing the Raiders at the end of his suspension. So, you know, for the team, it's not completely a lost cause. They still got Dak Prescott. They have a really good offensive line that's just now starting to click, although there's a concern about Tyron Smith. But the team has a lot of faith in Chaz Green, the swing tackle now, to step in and hold down the fort while Smith overcomes his back and groin issues that he's suffering now.
Tom, that's good insight on the team. What about the owner? Is he losing his mind thinking about suing the NFL?
I'm not too sure that he should really go through with something like that. But this probably, really I think it goes back to the fact that before the NFL finally came out and announced the Elliott suspension, which had drug on for 14 months in an investigation, Jones was told by people inside the NFL office that there was not going to be a suspension. Apparently, they talked to the investigator named Roberts, who'd said that she'd recommended no suspension. Everybody assumed that Goodell was going to take her recommendation instead of just ignoring that. Then Goodell comes out and announces the suspension, and Jerry Jones felt stabbed in the back, and that's what's really driving all this.
But is it going to I mean, is there a chance that he does that, or is he just grandstanding?
I think he may go through with it. Jerry Jones doesn't bluff about stuff like that a lot.
Oh, wow.
And he is really convinced at this point that Goodell is kind of a loose cannon on this stuff. You know, there's a lot of people that can see that that's a valid point of view. There are some owners who are kind of getting on board with Jerry on that, but it's not enough that he can really do anything. That's why he's threatening the lawsuit. Now, he may be threatening the lawsuit just to try to move some people over, but I don't really know what's going to happen. I just would not be surprised to see him pull the trigger.
Tom, do you see the team coming out like a pack of angry dogs now that this is all said and done with Zeke and DeMarcus Lawrence and the guys just decide to do it defensively as much as possible?
I can see a certain amount of that. The pack of angry dogs is not really characteristic of a Jason Garrett approach. But I think these people, the people that are going to be out there, you know, the other 52 players, want to show that what they're capable of. The defense has been playing so much better this year. They're going to be looking to put some hurt on people too. And like I said, there's you know, three backup running backs that want to go out and prove that they've got some talent as well. And you know, I think the big thing they've got is that Dak Prescott is quietly having one of the best years in the NFL. He doesn't get big, gaudy numbers, but he is very efficient. They're doing extremely well in the red zone, and Prescott is playing as well as he did his rookie year and probably playing smarter. So they've still got a lot of ammunition to fire out there. So we'll have to see how it goes, and I don't think you should write the Cowboys off from making the playoffs at all.
Good stuff, Tom Ryle. We appreciate you. Thanks for spending some time with us. We're going to tell the people right now they can find your stuff as part of a great website called bloggingtheboys.com. If you guys want to check it out, pretty much a who's who and what's up with the Dallas Cowboys. So you can follow that. Tom, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. I was glad to be on.
There you go. Tom Ryle on the HRNP listener line. Now hopefully he can round up them dogs and get back to business. But we got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back with a whole lot
don't
more.
You? No, we're not leaving.
Come on,
we're not
man.
Leaving. I can't believe you made the dog comment.
Right. After the first one, I was going to let it go.
I thought you were going to call him out on the spot.
I thought I was going to say, you think I'm going to let the dogs go? Out? Because, I mean.
Tom's like, well, the hell is going on, Tom?
Then it sounded like he had a kennel in the back.
We were all debating, and then Joel's like, are they going to come out like a packet? And I literally crapped my pants. That was so funny. Good stuff.
We both had to turn off our mics. All right, we'll be back with our final segment right here on The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Big show today. Tom Ryle. Sigmund Bloom. Bleep talk. How many times?
Yeah, how many times do you bleep? Because Ric Flair admitted to doing it twice a day and then sleeping with 10,000 women.
Yep. And then going, woo!
I wonder if he did that when he orgasmed. I wonder if that was his thing.
I wouldn't surprise me.
No?
No. Any guy called the Nature Boy, though?
I mean, I tried it once and it didn't go well.
I bet you did.
No.
I was thinking about that. If he is truly the Nature Boy and did it 10,000 times, there's got to be lots of Ric Flairs running around if he's doing it all natural.
You know, that would be two things that would come to my mind really quick is, one, how do you avoid getting something serious?
Yep.
Like, you know, the
HIV. DUIs or, yep.
Getting the HIV or something like that. But also, how do you avoid not having kids all over this country? Because he was talking about, like, yeah, you go to Wichita, and I've been to Wichita, and there's nothing to do. That's the place where I ended up at the gay bar. Yeah.
Just leave it there.
So, Ric Flair's out here, you know, 270 women in a year on the road, and I ended up at a gay bar doing gay karaoke. So, there you go. That's the life I live on the road versus the life Ric Flair lived on the road.
Gay karaoke has been mentioned.
Gay karaoke. That was it. That's what we did.
Well, speaking of a guy who's had a mirror lifestyle to that of Ric Flair, Clarence is on hold. He wants to talk about what? The Cowboys?
Woo! Let me tell you something about them Cowboys, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
What's up, Clarence?
I thought that was his Ric Flair woo. That was like a bad woo.
That was his Ric Flair. Don't make fun of his Ric Flair. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I'm not making fun of my Ric Flair.
Do it again. Do your woo again.
Woo!
Now that was better.
That's good. That's not bad at all. The phone makes it sound good.
It's not per se the Cowboys, but it's Jerry Jones. All I have to say, it's all fun and games until your boy decides to go after your team. Now all of a sudden, you don't want to sign this contract extension. And you want to go and sue the NFL because they want to sign the contract extension? I mean, you should have seen this pattern coming when he suspended my boys for such things. Not going to go there and say that.
Bounty gate.
Whatever you want to call it.
The truth. That's what I call it. The truth.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm not denying the truth. I'm not denying the truth at all.
I'm definitely with you.
It's just real funny. I'm just saying it's real funny about it. And another thing, I'm wondering why Zeke didn't go ahead and just take that six at the beginning of the season and knock it out versus now where you're in the meat and potato of your schedule. I don't see them beating the Eagles. I just see them being a wild card team at most, considering I can see two teams coming out the South. Yeah, Seattle, they're the best team in their division right now. And they probably had to compete with the Redskins depending on what they're doing. So I wonder why he didn't take it at the beginning instead of now, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Clarence. It's a couple things. One, I do agree with you, but really I would venture to say that the reason he didn't take it was he probably had Jerry Jones in his ear. Hey, don't worry about it. We're going to fight this together. I've got your back. We're going to beat this thing. You don't worry about that.
Think of what Tom said, though, too.
And plus,
the other thing is, if you're convicted once, one more point.
On that same thing is the NFL Players Association has a lot to do with that too.
True.
Probably in his ear as much as Jerry Jones is saying, we're going to beat this. Don't you worry.
But his agent's also saying, don't just sit there and take it, because if you take it and then you get any kind of domestic dispute again, you're banned from football.
Yeah.
So it takes your livelihood away from you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I totally agree with the fact that Jerry Jones is one of those guys where if this wasn't his player involved in all
wouldn't
of this,
care.
Wouldn't care a bit about Goodell or any of this.
And he makes up a great point when you look at, you know, going after the Saints and going after some of these other guys. Now, the Cowboys have not had a track record of the cleanest of players, I guess, from a records perspective. But I think Jerry Jones realizes what he has in Ezekiel Elliott and realized he probably needed to dig his heels in on this one. And maybe he sees or knows things that the rest of us don't. I don't know, but he sure does seem over the top.
The one thing that I see this is, regardless, it's a wake-up call. Because the kid's got all the talent in the world, but as we've seen with some of these other cases, Josh Gordon comes to mind. Guy's all the talent in the world, but can't keep it straight. Well, this could scare him straight into knowing, hey, if I screw up again, I could lose my livelihood, and maybe he starts acting a little differently, too. Because some of this was just kind of loose behavior, where he was just not thinking before he was acting. And stuff that maybe the common guy on the street could get away with, you can't get away with anymore.
Nope. You have to. There's a certain level of behavior you have to hold yourself to.
You mean this year he's going to catch the St. Paddy's Day parade at home?
Yeah, those types of things. Like, yeah, just don't rip women's shirts off in public without them telling you it's okay first.
Right.
Like, don't do that.
This coming up, just to get to one of our previous topics on Martellus Bennett. Packers starting left tackle David Bakhtiari today said, definitely we're surprised, disappointed with what happened to him. High expectations, good guy, but it sucks. He was disappointed, and he disappointed us with how he handled stuff and how it went about. I won't say he quit on us. I'll just say I'm disappointed with how everything unfolded. I'll leave it at that. So it sounds like the locker room had a little something to do with that. I know you're taking the other side of it, but I just wanted to add that in there.
Did you guys see this story? I just saw it today. Now, the Blitz may have talked about this, and that's correct. Fine if they did, because you and I just saw this on the news today.
Correct.
And, Nick, I don't think you saw it at all until we mentioned it. But
what?
It's crazy that Facebook is asking people to send them nude photos. And what they're saying is that there's a lot of, I guess, shaming going on. It's to revenge porn.
Yes.
Where, so they'll somebody will get mad at you. You've sent, you know, a nude pic to them, and then they post it on Facebook to get back at you. And so Facebook is saying, in order to combat revenge porn, send us a nude, and then we'll use facial recognition, and then it'll detect that.
No,
oh,
full body recognition.
Yeah, but they'll use the same software that's facial recognition and then they'll, oh, hey, look, someone posted a nude of Nick Sharara. And then they'll delete it.
Does this apply to like videos too, or just pictures?
I think it's just pictures. Damn. But I'm thinking, if people can hack Equifax, they can damn sure get all the nudes from Facebook. I'm not sending any nudes. Not that I have any, but I'm not. If I did, I'm not sending any nudes to Facebook. That just seems like this could be the biggest troll of all time.
It just sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, Facebook's like, send us your nudes, which. That doesn't work half the time anyways. I don't care who you tell.
But if you're like a celebrity who already has nudes on the internet and you've been trying hard to get it down, maybe that, if it's that. I mean, you're already up there on the
you've been trying
interweb.
Hard to get it down? Did you do that purposely?
That was intentional. There's a couple of things I could have isolated today, by the way. Dr. Dre on 290 has been direct message. Oh, isolate that. That's a hotkey for Joel. Isolate this. That's a hotkey for Barry.
I've got
plenty of ammo.
You're a truck driver, dude. Stay in your lane.
Two hands on the wheel, Chief.
Yeah, stay in your
two
lane.
Two hands on the wheel.
Over here, you're not calling the shots.
No, keep doing what you're doing, Dr. Dre, on 290. No, don't worry. They don't see those messages.
You're not executive producer of this show.
And Nick, we're in Beaumont tomorrow. We're going to start giving out your cell phone numbers.
Oh, yeah, no,
everyone.
I tell you what.
Text you directly.
You know what? That's a great
point. No, you are not.
In fact, let me do that right now.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, well.
Absolutely inappropriate.
Then you start listening to us and not Dr. Dre on 290.
Exactly. You want the electronic highway to hell? Let us start giving away that text message.
All right, Dr. Dre on 290. Stop sending the messages.
Now he just won't tell us.
Exactly.
Jerk.
Nice.
All right, so Joel, send your nudes to Facebook. We don't want your peen all over the place.
I just saw this caller. Are we doing this?
Anybody seen Porky's?
No, we're not doing that. Oh, we don't have time. It's 3:55. It's the Blitz is up.
Sorry,
next.
Mark.
Yes, I've seen Porky's. You have a mole?
Paulie does, and okay. So he's sending pictures.
All right.
That'll put a nice big bow on what's been an eventful show. We'll continue to roll on tomorrow from Beaumont at Luke's Ice House. If you're in the Beaumont area in the 409, Nick won't be there, so let's party. Barry and I and the Blitz will all be present and accounted for from 1 to 7 p.m. Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. Come on out and join us, won't you? Otherwise, if you can't make it, we'll talk to you same time, same channel, right here at ESPN 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.